Hey there. In 2018, my local chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in Western New York sent me to a soul shop for church leaders training in Buffalo. The goal of the training was to help communities, churches, and individuals impacted by suicide. Since 2018, I have attended two other Soul Shop for Leaders workshops. This spring, I've been invited to become a trainer for Soul Shop. With the help of HSP listeners, I'll be attending this training in Little Rock, Arkansas at the end of April. With the help of this training, I'll be able to offer workshops for church leaders and youth workers to support efforts of suicide prevention and to help churches and individuals impacted by suicide. To contribute to the expenses of this training, go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Tara L. Eastman. For more information on the Soul Shop Movement, go to www.soulshopmovement.org. Thank you for your help in this important work in the church and the world. And if you contribute, please make a note that this is for Soul Shop training. Thank you for being a partner in faith-based suicide prevention to equip faith community leaders and congregations to minister to those impacted by suicide. Welcome to Holy Shenanigans. I'm your muse, Tara Lamont Eastman, a poet, a pastor, and a podcaster. In the HSP neighborhood, we encourage the spiritual practice of looking and listening for the sacred in everyday life. This is what we call Holy Shenanigans. Welcome to the fiery season of Pentecost. In the church world this coming Sunday, it is called Pentecost, and it tells the account of Acts 2, of the Holy Spirit's arrival and the birth of the Big C Church. In this account, the Holy Spirit enters the lives of the Jesus followers like a mighty rushing wind, inspiring them to speak boldly of God's love and mercy. In artwork that tells about this story, the image of flames are depicted over the heads of the disciples to show the impact and influence of the Holy Spirit. This mighty rushing wind leads their hearts to become enlivened, some might say, to become ablaze with love. Pentecost is celebrated in churches in a variety of different ways. Some choose to wear the color red to worship. There are processions into worship with banners depicting wind and fire with long ribbons. This day includes celebration with food. In some churches, they have strawberry shortcake after church. In others, they have a birthday cake. A birthday cake with candles and hearty singing of "Happy Birthday to You, Church." But as I hear this account from Acts 2, my mind goes back to the words Jesus shares with his disciples just before his ascension. John 13, verses 34 and 35 read, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus' parting words make me pause and reflect on how I, and by extension, Christ's church is doing in following his prescription for our hearts to be ablaze with love. Are the hearts of the people who make up Christ's church actually ablaze with love? Love of God and neighbor and the world? Is the Christian church known by the way that we love well? Is love what people think of when they hear the word church? In Jesus' parting words, he emphasizes practical, everyday loving of people as the key characteristic to be known as his follower. But is this what people see the body of Christ, the church, doing? In the words of that old chorus, "Does the world know we're Christians by our love?" This Pentecost, as I think about the mighty rushing wind that invoked the followers of Jesus to speak and live lives of love, real love, I am on the lookout for signs of this hearts ablaze love today, ablaze for the sake of love. In this season of Pentecost, what's needed is not simply a revival of the church to love, but a reorientation or focus to restart our place and thinking from this space of Christ's love, to love one another just as Christ has loved us, that we should love one another, and that this is the way that everyone will know we are Christ's disciples, if we have love for one another. This week's lesson on how the church is called to love one another reminds me of how early Celtic Christians lived into this call to love in a very practical way. In the Celtic Christian tradition, women in particular were seen as the hearth tenders. Hearth tenders who were connected with the Creator in the efforts to tend and keep the hearth fire burning. This prayer over the hearth is called Hearth of the Sacred Three, and it was spoken over the smored ashes, just smoldering enough to retain their heat and flame. This prayer reads, to save, to shield, to surround, the hearth, the house, the household, this eve, this night, and every night, every single night. Amen. These hearth tenders made sure that the fire in the home kept burning all day and all night, and they'd also take the hearth fire out to the fields where they were tending sheep. This was an emphasis that life, light, and goodness were a gift from God, and the hearth tending in and outside the home was a practical expression of faith in action. The Celtic Christian community was built on the practical and spiritual call that comes from living, working, and growing in faithful cooperation with God, the original hearth tender. God as a hearth tender? Yes. God is the original hearth tender. God does not store up their light and love away from the reality of the world. God is already at work in the world. The question is, are we joining God in these efforts of love? This approach to spiritual hearth tending can usually lead us in two ways. We can either see difficulty and throw in the towel and just turn inward, or in times of challenge, we can look around us and consider these challenges to be opportunities to join God in the work that God is already doing. This Pentecost, as we call hearts to become ablaze with love, as we think about what it means to be hearth tenders joining God in this work of love in the world, I'm reminded of a Holy Shenanigans story about a small group of people who aspired to be Christ-following hearth tenders. Early in my marriage, my spouse and I moved into an apartment complex where his best friend lived upstairs and my best friend lived across the hall. We all attended the same church at that time and spent several years together in a small fellowship group that would meet together every Friday night. But meeting together once a week and living in the same apartment complex was a totally different experience. This group of friends who lived in the same apartment building were simultaneously going through a season of great challenge, recovering from divorce and health problems, struggling to make ends meet, just as starting new families. Somehow, through our fellowship and the shared physical space of this building, I believe that we were brought together by God, that we were to become connected in a deep sense of community, and to love one another. When things went badly for anyone in the group, we would support and pray for each other. When good news came to anyone's door, we would celebrate with Rice Krispie treats, Kool-Aid, and prayers of thanks for God's provision. This group of people truly lived into the role of being hearth tenders. We were connected in the practical need of daily life for each other, and started to join God in the work of expanding our perspective of who we were called to love. And this love even extended to others in our apartment building and into the neighborhood When we heard about a need in the building, we tried to find a way to meet it. We visited nursing homes and befriended teenagers that others were afraid to talk to. If someone was moving and didn't have the resources to pay a mover, we'd rally together with our caravan of hatchback cars and strong young backs, and we became the moving team. When I think back to this Christian community and how we responded to the needs within and outside of our immediate community, I'm amazed and filled with a sense of gratitude to God. Because we didn't plan to become a ministry team in the neighborhood, but step by step and person by person that responded to God's love and then shared love with someone else, it happened. We became a group of hearth tenders. God, the original hearth tender, grew that fire of love within our hearts until our hearts became ablaze with love for others. As we know in the reality of everyday life, the role of being church is challenging. Sometimes I've become discouraged when the reality of loving God and others does not come together as organically and naturally as what I experienced in that apartment building all those years ago. But time and time again, in seasons of disillusionment and discouragement, somehow God stokes a fire, lifts up a space or a group or an area of hearth tending that I might be able to assist with. And even in the challenges of definitions of what Christian community is and how we need to really love one another. What if this Pentecost, our hearts could become ablaze, the whole church of Christ become ablaze? Ablaze with love, a love that sees, celebrates, and loves all people, a place and a people who are truly hearth tending in partnership with God the Creator, the first hearth tender. This Pentecost, how is the Spirit calling the church into real hearth tending actions of love and mercy? As we, the church, put on our red clothes and prepare for the Sunday of Pentecost and gather to speak and sing and celebrate the warming fire of God's love, we need to stop and consider, what kind of fire will we be? One of love or calamity? I'm grateful that God is patient and faithful to help us on all of our spiritual journeys. In this grace, I encourage you to ask yourself, what kind of hearth-tending fire will you be? Frederick Buechner wrote, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." With these words as a guide, I wonder, what is your deep gladness? And where does it meet the world's deep hunger? Remember that God is already shining light and love into the world, and each one of us has a responsibility to take turns to stoke the embers of God's love. The kind of hearth tending you're called to is different than the way that I'm called to hearth tend. All those years ago, I had no idea that making Rice Krispie treats and giving glasses of Kool-Aid would be a part of me being a hearth tender for God. But it turns out that Rice Krispie treats and Kool-Aid are something that God can use to love people. This week, as you wonder about how you're called to be a hearth tender, I give you the words of Christ, saying goodbye to his followers and sending the Holy Spirit of Pentecost to nurture hearts ablaze with love. To love one another, just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This Pentecost, as we celebrate the birth of Christ's church, may they truly know we are Christians by our love.
Smoldering fire, smoldering flame.
I am your Holy Shenanigans muse, Tara Lamont Eastman. Thank you for joining us this week for Holy Shenanigans, that surprise, encourage, redirect, and turn life upside down, all in the name of love. This is an unpredictable spiritual adventure that is always sacred, but never stuffy. Thanks to Ian Eastman for sound editing and to HSP listeners for supporting our work with this podcast by way of www.buymeacoffee.com/Tara L. Eastman. Hey there, friends of Holy Shenanigans podcast. I'm thrilled to share that I'll be recording live from the Wild Goose Festival this July 11 through 14. Wild Goose Festival is a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, and seekers from all walks of life to explore justice and art, spirituality, and community. The festival will take place at Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina, and I'd love for you to join me there. From engaging workshops to inspired panels and interactive experiences, Wild Goose has something for everyone. So mark your calendars and let's be part of this incredible community that is committed to making a positive impact in the world. For more information, visit www.wildgoosefestival.org. As one of my followers, use a discount code A-TLE24. That's A-TLE24, and you'll get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket. We will see you there at the Wild Goose Festival to connect, to build community, and to work for social justice.